All right, hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul and Justin Baker, my co-host, as always, joining me via HP's central offices.
I love that you still point out the printer back here.
Are they going to sue us?
You technically really can't make out the logo, but I guess I could put tape over it, right? You see those reality shows and they tape over.
Right. I remember, even like in church, you know, if you have a live stream, they make you like take off the Aquafina label.
Do they really?
Yeah. Just so that you, because you're using their brand without their permission, I guess is how they could see it. I'm sure it's just a precaution, but anyways, welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. We are here to talk about hockey, not copyright or brand infringement. We'll leave the lawyer talk to someone who knows what they're talking about. We are here to run down everything that happened at trade deadline. You know what happened at this point. This is going to be more like, hey, let's look at the maybe 2-3 games that some of these guys have already been able to play in, see where they're fitting into the lineup. We can still give some thoughts on the trade, but you know, and then we'll also talk kind of, you know, how a particular team's total amount of moves, whether it helped them or hurt them, or we think that they made the right moves. We'll talk about all of that. We are just going to start back on the, kind of a early dates of some of these trades. I think we'll start a little before trade deadline because some of these moves kind of set everything up. Let's start out with the Toronto Maple Leafs grabbing Ilya Lyubushkin and a three-way trade with Anaheim and Carolina for essentially a third-round pick. And Toronto gives up a sixth-round pick. Let's start there.
Yeah, I'd actually love to hear get your feed. You're the Toronto guy, right? I want to hear your feedback on this guy so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all knew what to expect from Ilya Lyubushkin. He's I'd say a fourth defenseman at absolute best. He's being pushed up the lineup a little bit because the Leafs need him to. We know he plays well with Morgan Riley, and he's seen time with him already. But he got hurt a little bit, and so it's kind of been a it's kind of been a start. There hasn't been a whole lot to talk about with Lyubushkin, but I think long term through the rest of this year, once again, he'll be a valuable rental player for the Leafs. I doubt that he's someone they keep around long term, but he seems to like Morgan Riley, and Morgan Riley likes him, and that's an important thing. 5 games with the Leafs so far, he's got an assist. He's a -1, so sort of just a he's playing, right? he's in there. He's playing. And the Leafs have had all sorts of injuries right now that they've been dealing with. They've been dealing with the flu. So that kind of – I don't know if it's fair to say that he's playing where he will play come playoff time. But, he's a player. He's kind of one of those – he's a guy.
And he's a player. I like that.
And he will throw his weight around a little bit, so that's a plus too. I mean, I think if Brad Tree Living has done one thing, it's bring in people that are taller than 6 foot who can throw their weight around.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I mean, I'll say this. I like the move from a depth perspective. I just wish Toronto had made a bigger splash, in my opinion, on the back end.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I can't deny that it would have been nice if they got a better defenseman. I just don't know what they would have had to give up, who they would have had to deal in order to make that happen. And I will say Bertuzzi and Domi seem to have finally found a role on this team. So you don't necessarily want to throw out one of those guys just as things start to seem like they're working out. Okay, let's go to... Well, the Devils get Curtis McDermott for a 7th-round pick. I think we can move past that pretty quick. Anthony Mantha goes to the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for some draft picks with the Washington Capitals. Give me your thoughts on this one, because this was kind of the first pretty big trade by the Vegas Golden Knights really kick off pre-trade deadline.
I mean, the great thing is it's a great depth move, right? You got a guy who's in a contract year whom you're hoping is going to produce to earn that next big contract, right? Because there's always been concerns about his work ethic, and especially going back to Detroit, and even more so in Washington. Now, no knock on Washington, but I think, you know, guys like Mark Stone, Jonathan Marchessault, there's more leaders, I think, in this Vegas locker room that are going to push Mantha, you know, to really bring it every night, right? And just not go out there and float around skating. So for me, I like the move. I think it's, you know, a low risk, high reward type of move. You only had to move a second round pick to get a potential, you know, second line winger who can score some goals. So, you know, for me, the only thing is just, you know, where does he fit in that lineup? Who is he going to find chemistry with? And really, so far through three games, no points. But, you know, for me, I think this one will take a little bit more time. It's a whole new system. So I think for him, you know, he'll eventually find his way in there. I think he'll settle in that middle six, and whether he's paired with Will Carlson or maybe a guy like Chandler Stephenson, hopefully he finds some chemistry with someone soon.
Yeah, I think low risk move. I mean, yes, a second round pick, fourth round pick, they're nothing to balk at. But ultimately, if Mantha can continue to operate it the way that he's done with the Capitals all year, then you've got a winner. And if he doesn't, you're still a really good team. And I would think that by playoff time, he'll have kind of figured this out. This isn't an easy system to just jump in and be fantastic at. There's a lot of moving parts in Vegas' system with their forecheck. So I would say let's wait until we see him play 15 games and see where he's at.
Love it.
All right. One player who has already turned out very nicely for his team, his new team, the Florida Panthers acquiring Vladimir Tarasenko from the Senators for a fourth round pick, a third round pick, could be another third round pick instead of a fourth if the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup this year. But Tarasenko in three games has two goals, one assist. He's a plus two. He's fitting in very nicely. Vladimir Tarasenko. I mean, I feel like he was a rental last year, and he's been able to walk into these different situations and play pretty darn well. You know, for, like, he's played for what, four teams now in the last 12 months or so. And you're talking, you know, with the Rangers, he had 21 points in 31 games. With the Blues, 29 points in 38 games. The Senators, 41 and 57. And he's got 3-3. You know, that's not much of a sample size, but he pretty much puts up like a point, 2 points every three game kind of vibe. And he's doing it wherever he goes. He can kind of find a place no matter what lineup he ends up in.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, right? He can do it wherever he goes, because realistically, I think he's looking at the teams he's gone to. He's gone to teams that are very well coached, and I think they know with this guy, they're not going to get a defensive stud, right? A guy who's going to come in there and play great defense. Now, he does play, you know, responsibly, but you know what you're getting with this guy, right? And, you know, Miami was obviously the choice for him. That was the only place he wanted to go. So I do feel bad for Ottawa, because the assets they gave up and ended up getting back in return was kind of a bummer. But you know what? That's what happens when you give a player a full, you know, no move clause. You kind of, your hands are tied and you get what you get at that point.
And I mean, he signed a 1-year deal with a no trade. Like the deal that he signed was basically, hey, I'll sign there. I'm willing to come there. And if things aren't working out, you're going to trade me. And they went to wherever I want. And they went, okay. Like,
right.
I mean, the deal was set up for him to go somewhere if Ottawa wasn't good. So I wonder, was he thinking about, he probably tried to sign in Florida. I think if my memory serves right, he did try to sign in Florida, and it just ended up, he's in a position where Florida wasn't able to pay him the money that he felt like he deserved, but they can get him at the deadline. So I think it all works out for everybody involved, but especially Tarasenko, who gets to play with Barkov and Reinhardt, who you mentioned playing defensively. He doesn't really need to worry about that with Barkov around as well.
No, you might as well crown him the new, you know, Bergeron of this era, the NHL. Yep. Yeah, he's the defensive king. And so, yeah, for me, and two, there's that Russian connection too, right? I mean, it's for whatever reason, a lot of Russian players love to go to Florida. I don't know if it's the warm weather or what, but man, it always seems to be a choice destination for those nationalities.
Well, and now that it's not freezing, you know, they aren't terrible. I think that that makes all the difference in the world too.
Oh, for sure.
When they were bad, it was like, eh, we'll go to Tampa. And that was about it. Now that they're good. Let's talk Sean Walker trade with the Flyers and the Colorado Avalanche. Of course, Ryan Johansson goes the other way. Colorado gives up a conditional 2025 first round pick. If it's top 10 protected, which is, I guess, smart, but it's not like it. Colorado is not going to be in the bottom 10th of the league. But they get Sean Walker and a fifth round pick. Ryan Johansson doesn't look like he's ever going to throw a Flyers uniform on.
Oh God. I think by the end of the year, he'll get an opportunity, right? Because, you know, I think at some point either Philly's going to be in it or they're going to be out of it pretty definitively. Now, if for some reason, right, they're down to the wire with a team like the Islanders, where it's just a 2 or 4 point spread, then yeah, you're not bringing in a new guy that's, you know, hasn't been in your system. He's going to have to, you know, basically learn a whole new system. Then yeah, he's not coming up for sure. But I think if you're firmly out of it, if they're 6-7 points back, you know, with 5 or 6 games to go, I think at that point you'll probably bring him up either one to just get him some time and then maybe you can move him, or, you know, maybe he can spark something to push you to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it's too bad. I feel like he had a decent career. I think it's over. I really do. I think it's over. He's a fourth line center, maybe third line somewhere.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know if his career is over, but I think it's up to him at this point whether or not he wants to continue right in the NHL. And if he does, is he willing to take less money, because he's probably going to have to take a league minimum, because I would assume Philly's probably planning to buy him out next year or this summer if they can't find a buyer for him, which is unlikely. So you have to assume he's getting bought out. And then at that point, is he willing to be a fourth line guy or potentially take a two-way deal, work his way back up from the minors or mentor some younger guys down there and then come back up maybe? But hey, you know what? I mean, it hasn't been like, you know, there's a lot of goaltenders out there that do that, right? Where they came in, they just didn't really pan out, but they're making a comfortable living being a number three goaltender in the NHL. And maybe that's what this is for Ryan Johansson, an opportunity to be a fourth line guy, potential call up. If he's willing to do that, and maybe he might find a team that's willing to give him a little bit more minutes too, that, you know, like an Arizona or Chicago, and maybe he finds a way back in that way.
Yeah. I went and I looked up to buy him out. I don't totally know how it works because a buyout count, 50%. So Nashville's got 50%. And of course now the Flyers have 50%. So his buyout would be for $5.3 million. It would save you $2.6 million. So both teams would have a $2.6 million cap hit over the next 2 years.
That would be a $1.3 million cap hit. You want to split that?
1.3, right, yeah. 1.3. So I wonder, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth doing at that point? When you could for the Flyers, you're going, we could just bury this guy, put him in the minors, and he can do whatever he wants. Maybe he doesn't even play. And then you, after that, like you're looking at it as the Flyers. Are you going to be in the playoffs next year? I don't know.
Maybe.
I think this year is probably a little more of an aberration than anything. I think that for a rebuilding team, yeah, maybe. But are they really desperate to get that little bit of extra salary cap next season? Or would they rather have the little bit extra the following year over 1 year from now? That would be the question about him. So.
That is a good question. I mean, again, they buy him out next year. They essentially are going to save, oh gosh, $2.6 million.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then it'll cost them 1.3 after that. So is that money worth it? I don't know. But do you want to pay a guy $4 million to sit in the minors, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Wade Redden him. That's all right.
Very good.
We talked a little bit about Casey Mittelstadt and Bowen Byram when the move happened on March 6th. But now that we've had a chance to kind of see both guys in their uniforms, you know, you've got Mittelstadt's been playing that second line. He's been playing with newly acquired Jakob Trenin and Brandon Duhaime. How do you feel about this Byram for Mittelstadt move?
Yeah, I love it for both teams, and I especially love it for for Buffalo, because they are essentially getting, I mean, they have the youngest defense and a stacked defense at that in the NHL. And so they're setting themselves up long-term for a very good, back end. And so maybe if they can figure out a couple things up front in the goaltending, man, they would be super scary. And for Colorado, right, let's face it, they needed that second line center to make a deep run at this point. And so whether or not, Artturi Lehkonen comes back at any point, I'm not sure what his injury, his timeline is going to be. But for me, I love this move. You get a guy who, in my opinion, is essentially a 60, 70 point guy in Casey Mittelstadt. So, hopefully you found him. I don't know, exactly what it's going to take to sign him long-term, but, I think, again, both teams will find a way, I think, to get it done. You don't make that kind of trade without anticipating it, right? So he's definitely right. Getting a raise from that 2.5.
And you needed to know that, like, there's been money allocated for a second line center. Like, no matter who's in that slot, all right, we're paying McKinnon, we're paying Rantanen, we're paying Landeskog, and that, like, we're going to have to pay another top six forward who's pretty darn good. I know there's Nichushkin and Lehkonen, but you knew you were going to bring in some kind of second line center. My guess is Casey Mittelstadt slots somewhere similar to Nichushkin, maybe in the $6-7 million range.
Yeah, I would absolutely see that.
Six times three, or maybe like a six times two, depending on what he wants to do. He is arbitration eligible, so potentially he could take the arbitration and become a UFA the following year. So I guess that is a consideration, is that you would be buying out. You'd be buying what, two UFA years. So that's also something to think about. Whereas Bowen Byram, much younger, Bowen Byram's only 22. He still has 5 years left of cost control. So the Avalanche definitely gave up a lot to bring in Mittelstadt. I think probably in the end, we look back and compare Bowen Byram and Casey Mittelstadt. I think we like Bowen Byram in the end, but do the Avalanche need Byram right now, or do they need Mittelstadt? They need a center. So I think in the short term, this is a better move for Colorado. Long term, I think this move's great for the Sabres, and it's great short term for them too. They get a first pairing defenseman to come alongside, and he's already been playing with Rasmus Dahlin, and that's a fantastic addition to your team, which their defense, you look at who Bowen Byram and Dahlin, Owen Power, Joki Haru, like, you're really a top four defenseman now away from having a pretty legitimate top four defense. It's that Joki Haru in there that you're like,
Well, they've got Matias Samuelsson, he's going to end up with Dahlin, and then I think Byron will slot down with Powers. But to me, the only issue I have with all this is they have a whole bunch of left-handed guys. They don't have anybody who shoots right except for, like you mentioned, Connor Clifton and Joki Haru. I mean, I just don't see those guys as top four either. So, no. So your top four is all lefties, and can you make it work? I guess, but you have to.
I think that, based on the amount of talent that is on the right side compared to the left, I think that this is just becoming the norm again. Like, there was a while where every team wanted three lefts, three rights, and it's like, just go for the best guy.
I agree with you. I mean, look at Mikko, Heiskanen and Dallas. He plays on the right side. Exactly. No problems at all. Exactly. But I will say the one nice thing for Buffalo is all of these guys on defense, not a single no movement clause. So if they need to shift things up, they've got a little flexibility there.
There you go. Adam Henrique, of course, goes to the Edmonton Oilers along with Sam Carrick. They give up a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a fourth-round pick to Tampa for taking some money. And that could become one of those. The fifth-round pick could become a fourth-round pick if Edmonton wins the Stanley Cup. So, yeah. How do you see these guys having fit in thus far? Definitely Adam Henrique already you know, already in there. It looks like he's going to be a good fit with the Oilers. I know he hasn't been putting up the points, but I don't think you got Adam Henrique to put up big points.
No, you don't need him to put up points now that Connor Brown is scoring goals, baby.
He finally did it. I forgot. Yeah. I lose.
That's
from
right.
From our who will score no goals this year. Fortunately for him, sadly for me, he scored a goal.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say, right, that he plays on a line with Evander Kane and Connor Brown, so I think he adds that offense or that defensive responsibility, part where I think, Evander Kane obviously lacks. And so hopefully now that Connor Brown's going and he's got his mojo back, we'll assume, hopefully this third line's going to take off for them and they don't have to really, juggle things around. But the thing I love most about this move for Edmonton, besides Henrique's defensive responsibility, is his flexibility to play on the wing. So if they have to stack up their top six, he can definitely move up and down.
Yep. Yeah. It's a really total package move for them because they get two guys who can both play center. And now you've got your second or your third and fourth line center, Sam Carrick and Adam Henrique. I think it'll work really well. I like how, they're playing with Carrick and Corey Perry together. I think it's a good fit. That fourth line is going to be unfun to play against in the playoffs.
Unfun. I like that.
Unfun. All right. The Rangers grab Alexander Venberg from the Seattle Kraken for a second round pick and a conditional fourth round pick in 2025. It will become, if Nils Lundqvist earns 55 cumulative points over last season and this season, the pick upgrades to Dallas's 2025 third round pick. So it's actually a condition from a previous trade that follows the pick, which I thought was interesting. I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
A player on another team is part of your conditional pick. I mean,
yes. Yeah. Well, where the condition carries when you trade the pick, which of course makes sense, but I don't know that I've seen that happen, which is interesting. Alexander Venberg, obviously he's replacing the injured Hedl and who's out for the rest of the year. But what do you think about this fit in comparison to Hedl?
Yeah. I mean, so to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of the Rangers since this move, but listen, they had to make a move. They had to bring in a center. We'll talk about the trade a little bit later, but Jack Roslovic comes in and he's a guy who could also play center too if they need him to. Yep. So maybe you have to make a move where you bring Jack down to that third line and move Kapokako up or something like that. But initially, right, you had to pull the trigger on a center. You had to bring in somebody. It's definitely not, you're not getting comparable players as far as Filip Hedl is concerned. You're going to get more from him. But I think in the short term, it's a nice little Band-Aid and a guy who, at one point was a decent offensive threat. So maybe
almost a 30 goal scorer, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he finds a little bit of that swagger on that third line with, a guy like I mentioned, Kapokako. But, we'll have to wait and see how this one plays out.
Yeah, Jack Roslovic has been playing on the first line next to Kreider and Zibanejad, so it hasn't been too bad. He's playing on the right side, and Venberg playing that third line center. So, yeah, those two moves, honestly, I was surprised that Roslovic was so cheap. He went for, a fourth-round pick, which goes to a third-round pick if the Rangers make it to the Stanley Cup Finals and Roslovic plays 50% of the playoff games. Like, that's a big if. So you basically get a guy, and they retain 50%. You get a guy who's now playing on your first line for a fourth-round pick. That's pretty nice maneuvering there. I gotta tip my hat to Chris Drury on that move. And they didn't give up a whole lot to get Venberg. So the Rangers kind of, you're right, it's a Band-Aid, but nevertheless, inexpensive Band-Aid. Like, sometimes Band-Aids cost you way too much. And I've got no problem with the price that he paid to bring in a couple Band-Aids.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of hesitation with a guy like Roslovic just because he was in and out of the lineup with Columbus, not for injury reasons, but for, I don't want to call him hustle reasons, but there were concerns about his play. So
that's that whole damn team.
Yeah.
That team has a problem. There's this vicious virus that's in the blood veins of that team. And that's like half the guy. It's like Patrick Laine infected everybody in there, and now they're all lazy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I mean, it's true.
Enough said.
It's true. Okay. one of the bigger trades of the day. Well, I guess it was the day before. Noah Hanifin goes to the Vegas Golden Knights along with rights for Mikhail Voroboyev. The Philadelphia Flyers help by retaining 50%, and they get a fifth-round pick. The Calgary Flames get Daniel Miramanov, a 2024 third-round pick, a 2026 first-round pick, and the 2024 third-round pick upgrades to a 2025 second-round pick if Vegas wins one playoff round. So that's pretty close to a guarantee that that'll happen. 50-50 chance, I guess. And then if traded by March 10th, 2024, or if the pick is top 10, Calgary will instead receive the 2026 first-round pick for Vegas, which is a very interesting. And then Vegas traded the 2025 first-round pick, so Calgary does get the pick. It's so funny. They made this trade, and then they made another trade shortly after. So they had this condition basically to go, well, just in case we make another trade. Yeah. Anyways, your thoughts on Noah Hanifin and really what the Vegas Golden Knights did as a whole here.
My gosh, the rich keep getting richer, right? It's kind of unfair. A lot of teams just, keep complaining, oh, Vegas is getting everybody. But if you really look at it, I got to tip my cap to Vegas management because they managed to do all this without trading their 2024 first rounder. And we know, right, that obviously, Hanifin's not re-signing their long-term. They don't have the cap to do that. They still got to figure things out with, Chandler Stephenson and some other, and Jonathan Marchessault. So obviously the money's not there for Hanifin, and he knows it. They know it, but they don't care. They want that Stanley Cup. They want to go back-to-back. And I wish more GMs in the league were this aggressive all the time because it would make things way more fun for me.
Heck yeah. I mean, the Hurdle deal is just a stroke of genius.
Oh,
you get Tomas Hertl, 17% of his salary is held onto. So you get him at $6.75 million. That's amazing. You also get 2 third-round picks back from San Jose. You give up a first-round pick. And yes, David Edstrom, he is their first-round pick last year in 2023, 32nd overall. He's got the possibility to be a decent player in this league. But he doesn't do anything for you now. It's a great move for San Jose to basically grab somebody who is 1 year further along, which I do like. But a first-round pick for Vegas, I mean, that's bottom five, almost guaranteed to be a bottom five pick. So, and honestly, it's probably better that they did get the 2026 pick instead of the that one is the 2025. Yeah, so that's the 2025. I think maybe the reason why they wanted the 2025 and not the 2024 is because they're looking at this going, well, you're definitely going to probably win the cup this year. Maybe not next year, so let's take their pick next year. So, he's got to be the GM of the year, right? Again?
I mean,
are those moves just on trade deadline day? Is he the GM of the year?
Yeah, that's crazy. And so, I mean, obviously, I had heard that they were looking at Hertl last summer, and they wanted to bring him in. But with his injury, and then, of course, with the Mark Stone injury, it opens up more cap space for them. They can fit it in this year. Now, the only bad thing about this whole Hertl move to me is it almost feels like the writing is on the wall for Chandler Stephenson, or they know that they can't afford to re-sign him, right? So they're like, shit, okay, we're going to lose Chandler Stephenson, who's a winger, a top six winger, a top six centerman. But we could go bring in Hertl, who's a top six winger or centerman, for $6 million, which is probably less money than I'm assuming Chandler Stevenson's asking for at this point. And
that's a good observation. You'd think that that's the case because otherwise they probably would just give him the money, right?
Right, exactly. And to me, I think you're getting a very comparable, if not a better player out of Tomas Hertl, in my opinion, who is easily going to put up at least 60, 70 points every single season. And whether long-term this pans out, but again, at $6 million, 3-4 years from now, that's not a big deal at all for them cap-wise to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, Chandler Stephenson, you got it. Like, he's a 60 point guy, 60, 65. He had a really great playoff last year, 20 points in 22 games and 10 goals. He's going to get paid. He's going to get $7 million on the open market for sure. At least he might get 8. Now, I don't think it's going to be like 8 times 8 because he is 29 going on 30. But you're probably looking at a 5-year deal worth $40 million. And yeah. Vegas must have been looking at that and going, well, we could get Tomáš Hertl. And yeah, this absolutely is the writing on the wall for Chandler Stephenson. This will be his last shot with Vegas, which, hey, Vegas goes and wins the cup again. You don't really care.
Right.
You know there's going to be casualties.
Yep, absolutely. And you know what? If he goes out and plays again like he did last year, he's just increasing his value. He knows it. And so, you know, teams would die to have a two-time cup winner come in and a guy who can play top six center. So,
yep. Especially a guy who is he's playing some tough minutes too.
Right.
At that center position. So, all right. The Leafs grabbed Joel Edmondson from the Washington Capitals for a 2024 third-round pick belonging to the Islanders and a 2025 fifth-round pick belonging to Chicago. I think this was the move that you're waiting for. You know, a top four defenseman, albeit he's definitely a second-pairing guy. Probably on a championship team, he's bouncing between the second and the third pairing depending on injuries. But you get another tall, big defenseman who really kind of starts to – the face of this defense core has changed. When you go add Lyubushkin and you add Edmondson in, you're suddenly a little bigger, a little tougher to play against, and I think that that's exactly what they wanted going into playoff time.
Yeah, absolutely. And more or less, I mean, you're getting good depth at the defensive unit there. And two, we forget, you know, this guy – has a Stanley Cup ring, right, with St. Louis. So, you know, to have that kind of leadership and experience in a locker room is going to be very valuable.
Yep. Okay, let's skip ahead because I want to get to this trade. The Minnesota Wild trade Brandon Duhaime for a third-round pick to the Colorado Avalanche. Duhaime right now has 8 points in 62 games. So, yeah, definitely not your big point guy. Why do you think Colorado was not that they wanted to grab him? I mean, he does what he does, right? But why did Colorado pay such a high price for Brandon Duhaime?
You know what? That's a very good question. I wish I had an answer for you, to be quite honest, but to me, Brandon Duhaime is, I mean, like you said, he is what he is, right? He's a tough guy to play against. He's going to give you some decent, you know, at least so far with Colorado, he's given them some pretty good Corsi numbers and possession numbers. So, but he's a guy that's going to play a lot in the defensive zone, a lot of penalty kill minutes. And for me, when you have a guy who can play those PK and tougher minutes, it's going to lighten the load, I think, on guys like Nichushkin, McKinnon, as you get deeper into the playoffs. And, you know, those defensive zone minutes become a little bit tougher to play as you get, you know, again, keep getting deeper and deeper in the playoffs. So this gives them a little flexibility up front, a guy who can play, you know, in that middle six if you need him to, but then also can, you know, slide in on your fourth line if you want to.
Yeah. I mean, and then you just go further. You know, the next trade is also Colorado. They bring in Yakov Trenin from the Nashville Predators for a third round pick and a prospect, which Jeremy Hansel, you know, sixth round pick in 2023. He's right now an overager in the WHL for the Seattle Thunderbirds. Not someone who is, I mean, he's a defenseman, puts up big numbers, but I mean, it's the WHL. Probably not someone who's ever going to play for the Nashville Predators, but they do make a habit of developing their defensemen really well. So, you know, they take a flyer on him. But the Avalanche, they get a little better defensively, I think, is what they do with both these moves. Like, they just get harder to play against. And I think, you know, they lost what? They've lost guys over the years. Like, even like a Kadri, you know, you lose somebody like him who can just wreak a lot of havoc. You aren't getting a Kadri again, but you're able to go and you can grab guys who can do certain aspects of what he could do. And I think that's, you know, that's these moves in a nutshell. Is let's make, especially you, there's no guarantee that Landeskog's coming back. I think May 10th is the day when they said that he could be back, but you need some guys who can do what he does and do what Kadri did when he was here. And you haven't had that, so you got to find that elsewhere.
Yep, absolutely agree with you. I mean, again, this goes back to losing guys like, you know, Logan O'Connor and Ube Kubel, those tough, hard, you know, guys that are hard to play against in those tough minutes as you get deeper in the playoffs, they're going to come in handy. And you know what? You have your superstars, but you also need your guys like, you know, like I said, like O'Connor and Kubel to play against on that fourth line.
Yep. You know, this move to me for the Predators, though, is weird. You know, things have been going really well for the Predators, right? And they go and they deal Yakov Trenin for a third-round pick. Great. Then they turn around and they trade a fifth-round pick for Anthony Beauvillier. So, to me, I'm like, between a third and a fifth-round pick, I think I'm just hanging on to the guy that I know instead of dealing one guy out, like upgrading my pick. I don't know. I don't think Beauvillier is really going to do a whole lot for the Predators, especially compared to a guy like Trenin, who you knew what you were getting from him. And that sort of has so far held true. I mean, Beauvillier, he in 23 games with the Blackhawks had 6 points. And so far in 3 games for the Preds, he's got none. So kind of a puzzling move to me there by Barry Trotz.
Yeah, for me, Beauvillier is a guy I think that's going to play a little bit better of a defensive game than maybe a guy like Trenin. Now, again, I think the offensive upside is a little bit better there with Trenin, but you know what? I could be wrong. And maybe there's just, again, something there that, you know, Andrew Burnett, you know, Barry Trotz just saw, you know, and said, hey, you know what? I don't think this guy's going to work for us long term if we go deep. You know what? Especially that first round when you're probably going to have to play a Winnipeg or a Colorado, right? They're going to be tough minutes in there. And so, you know, maybe they just thought, you know what? This guy's better suited for what we want to do in the playoffs.
Yep. And isn't it weird? You know, you traded him to Colorado and you might play Colorado in the first round.
Right. I love it.
Next pretty big move was Anthony Duclair going to the Tampa Bay Lightning for essentially a third round pick, a couple other things thrown in there, but Anthony Duclair kind of gets another shot here at a championship as he moves to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Although I don't know that they're going to win the championship this year by any means, but he goes back to Florida.
Yeah. I love this move.
2 points in his first game there.
Yeah. He looks electric there so far. And I think, that was the one thing they were missing, right? As a top six winger to play with Cirelli and Stamkos on that second line. And listen, we know what you're going to get out of Point, Kucherov, and Brandon Hagel on that first line. But, you know, Stammer had, you know, he's been playing good, not great, but good. And so Cirelli's been kind of slacking a little bit. And so you kind of needed, I think they needed a little something in that middle six. And Duclair's a cheap guy to bring in. But a guy who, you know, has produced in the past, right? He's been a goal scorer in the past. And, you know, to me, he gets an opportunity to go to a team where maybe he can make another play on a bigger contract or maybe a little bit of a pay raise on his next contract. And so, you know, for Tampa, they get a guy who can, you know, kind of give them a little bit more depth scoring. And hopefully, you know what, this is a team, you know, when they get in, if I'm not sure if Sergachev will be back for the playoffs or not, I haven't really looked into that too much, but regardless, I think, again, this is a guy who, once they get in, they can make a little bit of noise because this is a team we've seen in the past do that. And so now they're kind of the underdogs, right? They haven't had to play that role in a long time. So that'll be kind of fun to watch, especially if they got to go play Florida in the first round. That'll be very, very fun for me.
Would love it. Yes, would love it. All right, the Carolina Hurricanes make one of the biggest moves of the day. They get Jake Guentzel. The Penguins retain 25%. They also grab Ty Smith from the Penguins. Going the other way, Michael Bunting, Vasil Ponomarev, Cruz, Lucius, Ville Koivunen, a second-round pick that's conditional. If Carolina wins the Cup, it becomes a first, and a 2024 fifth-round pick that Pittsburgh will get if Carolina wins the Cup. So a lot of prospects in this deal, and that's exactly what Pittsburgh wanted. Pittsburgh wants some guys who can, you know, come into the lineup and play maybe as early as next year. Ponomarev is a second-round pick in 2020. He's playing in the AHL right now and is having a pretty good year, you know, 29 points in 39 games. So he has the possibility. Cruz Lucius, he's playing for the University of Wisconsin right now. He's a fourth-round pick. And then Ville Koivunen, who was the second-round pick in 2021, he's playing in Liga, and he's at almost a point per game in Liga. So three pretty solid, like B-level, maybe A-minus for Koivunen type of prospects, guys who could be ready to come into the lineup soon. And they also grab Michael Bunting, who Kyle Dubas obviously likes.
Yeah, we know the history there with Bunting in Toronto, right? So the nice thing for Penguins fans, right, is they've got a guy they know can play with elite players, right? He's played with Matthews. He's played with, you know, Marner, these elite talents. So he's been able to keep up. Now, he's not a line driver. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, put up a point per game. But he could go in there and step in with a guy like Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin and keep up well enough, I think, to hold his own. And to be able to get a guy like that to provide a little bit of offense and you still get some really good prospects and potentially a first-round draft pick, Carolina makes it to the final, which I think they're more than capable of. If
they have to, oh yes, they just make it to the final. Okay.
Well, yeah. So either way, I think this is a very good haul for a guy who you knew was going to hit free agency. So, you know,
is it a good haul for a guy who's going to come back in free agency?
I mean, maybe, right? How crazy would that be if he comes back to Pittsburgh, which very well could happen. I'm not sure, you know, how Michael Bunting's cap it kind of complicates things a little bit. But, you know, I'm sure they could find a way to make that work. If they could get Letang, you know, Malkin and all those guys re-signed, I'm sure they can figure out with their 12 million cap space next year to get Gensel back. But long story short, I think this is more or less for Carolina a home run because they needed – a game changer. They needed a guy up front. We saw this last year in the playoffs when Svechnikov went down, how they struggled. And so they finally get a guy who, assuming comes back healthy and is continuing to do what he does, he'll light it up whether he's playing, you know, in that top line with Aho or, you know, moves down a little bit to play with, you know, guys like Jack Jury or Kotkaniemi.
Well, in their one game together, they did have Kuznetsov and Gensel together, which Kuznetsov was the other trade on my list there for Carolina. They get a third round pick for Kuznetsov, 50% retained by the Capitals. I mean, shoot, they basically got a new second line with these two deals. And, it's way too early to tell for Kuznetsov. He's played one game. But yeah, Carolina, I think what these two moves did is it really shifted everybody else down the lineup where they needed to be. Like Martinook, Jordan Staal, definitely not third line guys. Kotkaniemi has proven to be pretty much a bust, and for what they gave up for him and all the hype around him, he just has not been. Boy, what was Montreal thinking taking Kotkaniemi third overall that year?
I mean, it would have been even stupider if they had said, you know what, we'll go ahead and match that offer sheet. So, smart move by them to get out of it when they probably knew, you know what, let's just cut shit right now. But no, I love the Kuzi move. I think this is great because again, it's under $4 million bringing him in. He only has one more year. So you're not really burning yourself long-term trying to bring a guy who, you know, has won a cup. He's been a former 70, you know, point per game kind of guy. So, you know, does he get a little bit of that scoring touch back? I don't think he'll ever be, you know, that 70 plus point guy again, but if he can get 50, 60 points, you got yourself a good second line center there.
That's very true. Hey, Justin, by the way, would you, if you're Montreal, would you have liked to have Brady Tkachuk or maybe Quinn Hughes?
Oh, that's a whole nother discussion too, right? Those what ifs. Cause I can tell you that pre-Yzerman era in the drafts, man, there were a lot of, like Philip Zadina, right, coming in at number 6 overall, and look at but that's a whole other discussion. I agree with you. Yeah, I mean,
yes, but the Kotkaniemi thing was everyone had Kotkaniemi further down.
Absolutely,
They picked him because he was a center.
Yes, I remember they were desperate for centers. This was after what's his name?
It was after Brian Gianta, not Brian Gianta. Oh shoot, yeah, now Brian Gianta did leave, but. Thomas Plekanec.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Thomas Plekanec. He was gone, and they were small, and they were trying to get big. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought him up so fast, he had no time to develop in the American game. Yes, that's anyways, we don't have to go too far down that road, but just had to look up the 2018 draft.
Like
to see who they missed out on. Yeah, let's one move that I really love, sneaky good, under the radar great. The Florida Panthers grabbing Kyle Okposo for a prospect and a seventh round pick that becomes a fifth round pick if Florida wins the cup. Kyle Okposo, man, the captain of the Sabres for a long time. I think you bring in a guy like that who's hungry, like he's been in Buffalo. He's been, the last time he was in the playoffs, I think 2016. I hope that, you know, he's a playoff guy. Like, he is absolutely built for the playoffs, and I can't wait to see what he does come playoff time for the Buffalo or for the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is, I mean, again, you always want to have those depth guys, and he brings not only the depth ability to score, you can put him on your, you know, your fourth line to start, but he could move up if injuries happen. But more importantly, I think, you know, it's that leadership quality he brings. That's going to be very, very valuable for a lot of, I mean, let's face it, you know, guys like Nick Cousin, right? They need those other guys like Okposo to be like, dude, don't do that. We don't want a Nazem Kadri Toronto suspension situation, right? We're here to win a cup. So don't go do anything stupid.
Yep. 100%. Let's go. Winnipeg Jets getting Tyler Toffoli from the New Jersey Devils. They retain half his salary for a 2024 third round pick and a 2025 second round pick. Your thoughts on Toffoli going to the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was going to get moved. We saw the writing on the wall. I think New Jersey was just trying to wait to see if they could snap off a win or two and get in, and they ultimately had to pull the trigger. I mean, look, this is a guy who can fit in anywhere in your lineup, your top six. He could play on the top nine. I mean, now Winnipeg is absolutely loaded. We forget they've got Gabe Vilardi injured right now. So when he comes in, you've essentially got Kyle Connor, Ehlers, Toffoli, Vilardi, Iafallo, Monahan. You've got so many pieces up front.
I mean, they were so deep up front. We had talked about it. We didn't think they'd make any moves.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think I got to applaud, you know, Winnipeg for pulling the trigger on somebody, because you looked at it. It was an arms race in the West, right? Colorado was making moves. You know, Dallas went out and brought in Chris Tanev on defense. So all these teams that they're battling for that top spot in the, you know, in their division are making these moves, and they're kind of just hanging tight, right? We knew they really weren't going to mess with that defense, because the defense is, in my opinion, one of the best in the NHL right now. Goaltending was fine, so the only play was up front. And look, they bring in Sean Monahan, and we thought that was going to be it. But, man, they pulled the trigger on a guy like Toffoli, who's a known goal scorer and a guy who I think can really light it up anywhere in the lineup.
Was it unusual to you that the Devils then went and turned around and traded a third-round pick, potentially a second-round pick, for Jake Allen to bring him in and play goal for this team?
Well, I don't necessarily know about that for Jake Allen. I think they wanted to get somebody in there who not only could maybe potentially help them this year, but next year as well. Because again, I don't know if, you know, Nico Daws or Akira Schmidt are the answer long term in there. So maybe you don't have to put any pressure on them to come up now and be the guy, right? Maybe Jake Allen can come in and hold the fort down for next season, and then maybe one of those guys will be really ready to go and take things over. But you know, on the flip side of that, he comes in at such a low cap hit now, that if for some reason in the offseason you're like, you know what, we can make a play on Markstrom, right? So you know, Jake Allen has a modified no trade clause, but he'll only be basically submitting you know, either a 7 or 3 team no trade list. So they could move him almost anywhere, because they're, you know, obviously goaltenders get shuffled a lot in the offseason, so they could potentially move him in the offseason if needed. But
so he's not going to Arizona.
Right.
San Jose.
But I'm with you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, one, it's nice to potentially try to make a push for the playoffs. But, you know, was Jake Allen the right call? I don't know. Maybe not. But we'll see.
Okay. I'm since the Red Wings did nothing, we'll just throw you a bone here. The Wings trade Klim Kostin to the Sharks and get Radim Simic and a 7th round pick. Any feelings towards what Yzerman, maybe what he didn't do on deadline day?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say, like, man, shouldn't you have done something now with Dylan Larkin out? And now the Wings have gone on a 6-game burner, losing. I mean, and now the Islanders have seemingly crawled themselves back into the playoffs. To me, this move was just more or less just being nice to Klim Kostin. You know what? You bring him in, he's not getting the minutes that he deserves, because you've just, you know, you've got a lot of guys up front that you can't put on waivers and you want to keep. So you got to move a guy like Klim Kostin out. But at the same time, you know, you clear his money off the books for next year too. So he's got one more year left. So that's a good move for Detroit. But yeah, I do wish they had gone after maybe, you know, somebody else up front. But at the same time, you know, in hindsight, you know, were the Wings going to be a team that's going to go deep in the playoffs? No. So you don't want to mortgage the farm. You don't want to, you know, get rid of a first round draft pick to bring in a top six forward to maybe try to help you out there. You know, but at the same time, I wish the Wings had done a little something, maybe just bring in like a middle six guy for a third round draft pick and maybe a conditional fourth or something like that. To where you
How
just
about
say, you
like
know
what the Nashville Predators did and trade a sixth round pick for Jason Zucker? Like,
yeah, I mean, something, right? Yeah, just do something to tell your fans, you know what? You guys are playing well. We're going to reward you. We're going to go out and we're going to bring somebody in. And it's seemingly falling apart a little bit for Detroit. So maybe bringing in a veteran guy who could have boosted, you know, that middle six a little bit more. And Jason Zucker could have been that because they had the cap money to do it. So sure. I don't know.
I mean, it's like the Flyers, you know, yes, they traded Sean Walker because they can get a first round pick. Like, you got to do what you got to do when you know you're not going to win the cup. But your team's still in the playoff hunt. So what do? They go grab Eric Johnson. They go bring in Denis Gurianov. Like, they go and they still add to their lineup despite trading away some. I mean, I'll take Sean Walker over Eric Johnson any day. But Eric Johnson can fill the hole that is left. You know, and Eric Johnson has the experience in the playoffs. So a nice way to at least be like, we had to get something. But we do recognize that you guys are going to be in the playoffs. We're not going to leave you empty-handed. Which I think is what Yzerman should have done. Like, fourth-round picks, third-round picks, who cares? Like, it would have been nice to see him make another
move.
Yeah,
go get a guy like Jake Roslovic, right, who could come in and play in that middle six very well, could fit in. He brings a tough, you know, sandpaper-like game, but he can still produce offensively. So,
well, and can help Will Larkin's out.
Right, exactly. He could have slotted in.
Okay, let's we talked about Jake Allen. Matt Dumba goes to the Tampa Bay Lightning for a fifth round pick. They also get a seventh round pick. Matt Dumba to the Lightning. What do you, you know, can he do anything to replace Sergachev?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, no one's going to replace Sergachev, but no. This is a guy who has shown in the past, and it's been quite a number of years since, but he has that offensive capability. But he's turned his game around to being more of a defensive defenseman. And I think for a team like Tampa Bay, that's where they're really struggling, is on that 5-on-5 defense right now. And I think a guy like Matt Dumba can come in, plays on the right side, which I know they're sorely missing outside of Cernak. So, you know what, he can slide in that third line spot, play some good defensive minutes, and hopefully, you know, Vassy gets his numbers back up a little bit more. And, you know, again, he's got a lot of experience. You know, Minnesota's seemingly always made the playoffs over the last decade. So, you know, he's always been there. He knows what it takes to compete. And so maybe, you know, maybe this pans out well. I just, you know, don't know if, you know, again, if he's going to produce offensively enough for Tampa to be successful. But you know, maybe he shows a good defensive game to where, you know, his next contract this summer, maybe, you know, gets a little bump.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see. Really, one more move that I want to talk about was the Leafs acquiring Connor Dewar. I think this was a sneaky good move for them because they desperately needed a penalty killer. And it turns out, you know, Marner gets hurt, and he kind of takes Marner's spot on the penalty kill unit anyways. So that works out in that sense. But their second penalty kill unit is Dewar, Edmondson, and Labushkin, along with Pontus Holmberg. So you've got all three of your guys you just acquired are all killing penalties for you, which is what the Leafs desperately needed. Their penalty kill has been middling at best this year. And he comes in, you know, he play the fourth line, and, you know, provide that little bit of defense, which they really do need. In addition to David Kampf, you know, they needed somebody who can kind of center that line down there. So I think that was an important move for them to make as well. And they really don't give up. They give up what a fourth round pick to the Minnesota Wild, as well as a prospect fifth round pick in 2020, who's likely never will see the light of day. Well, he's been playing for the Marlies, 20 games that he's seen this year, gotten 10 points. So. Any other moves you want to talk about?
To be quite honest, I like the move for San Jose to acquire Vitek Vanacek, and Kapokkanen goes the other way. Yeah. You know, I'm curious to think, because, you know, we talked about it, right? Jake Allen comes in, and maybe he's the Band-Aid for next year, but why bring in, you know, Kapokkanen right now? Do you really think that he's going to be the savior this team needs too? I'm not sure if that goaltending duo is better than a Vanacek, Nico Daws, Akira Smid combo. I'm not sure if they've improved there, but
well, to be fair, he had a good first game with the Devils.
He did. Yeah, and I will say his last couple of years in San Jose, he's looked pretty good, even though the numbers maybe don't reflect that. But I think overall, he played well for what kind of team was in front of him. So, maybe long term he is the answer. But following this contract, what is he, an RFA after this year? I think. Yeah. No, he's a UFA. I'm sorry.
A UFA. Yeah. So you're really just bringing him into. To be able to lose the cap hit for next year. That's all that
is. Yeah, essentially they're moving Vitek Vanacek out to get rid of that money.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I think we made it all the way through all the trade deadline deals. There you have it. And, of course, we'll continue to watch everything. And we're moving to playoff time now. We're, what, 5 weeks away?
Oh, boy. So, let me ask you really quick. You said playoff time. I'd love to get this on the record really quick. Out of Washington, the Islanders, Tampa, Detroit, what two teams are getting in?
Oh, I can't bet against Tampa Bay, so I have to say Tampa Bay. I really want Detroit to make it. I really do. I was looking forward to seeing them make the playoffs, and they dropped these six in a row. I think they'll figure it out and get themselves turned around. The Islanders, though, of this entire group, have the best goaltending.
Yeah.
And that usually helps.
Hey, I've been reading it, and Husso is nearing a return, so maybe next week we'll see.
Yeah, that'll definitely help Detroit. I mean, Alex Lyon has been fine.
I just think he's overworked at this point. So
yeah, definitely overworked. I'm rooting for the Wings to get in. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for the Wings. I want this town to get playoff hockey back. So that's who I'm rooting for. If I was forced to put money on it, I'd probably say, I would say the Wings, actually. Okay. I think assuming Larkin gets back here pretty soon, it's supposed to be what, like another week that he's out?
Oh, no, he should be back, I think, after this weekend.
Okay, yes. Okay, yeah. So 5 days, my bad.
Now you're. So I will say though,
7 or 5.
I will say though, tonight they are at home against Arizona, and if I mean, they, I know they took a shellacking against Arizona in the last game, but man, if the Wings lose it tonight, they might be in trouble.
Yeah. Yep. Well, they're at home, so that should also help. Yeah, I think ultimately the Wings figure it out. Larkin comes back, and this team gets going again. You lose six in a row. They won four in a row before that. So this has been a team of some pretty big swings throughout the year. So I think they'll be able to swing it back the other way. And the Islanders, I mean, they've got a tough divisional schedule ahead. So I think it's going to be a big test for them. And I think that's where it'll ultimately make the difference. And I think the Wings make the playoffs. But, man, I just can't see Tampa missing the playoffs. But it'd be a weird world if they missed the playoffs,
right? Especially because Stammer could be gone after this year. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's our show. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at OT Hockey Talk. Until the next time, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.